Derek, PF, the Secretary of Parliament of South Africa, Mr. Kolle George, ladies and gentlemen of the media, good morning, good afternoon, just after 12. Indeed, we thank you for having come for this media briefing, but also to the opening program of the 58th Plenary Assembly of the SADC Parliamentary Forum. South Africa is indeed honored to host this important gathering of speakers, presiding officers, and members of parliament from the Southern African Development Community member states. The SADC Parliamentary Forum is an institution that has for nearly three decades been central to the strengthening of parliamentary democracy, regional integration, and the harmonization of legislation that supports development across Southern Africa. Since its establishment in 1996, the SADC Parliamentary Forum has served as the region's premier platform for inter-parliamentary cooperation. It has contributed significantly to the advancement of democratic norms by developing international recognized model laws, by supporting credible elections through robust observation missions, and by elevating gender equality and human rights within national parliamentary agendas. It is for this reason that it is compulsory for the delegation of every member state to the Parliamentary Assembly to bring one delegate from the Women's Caucus of their parliaments. The forum has also amplified the voices of young people, championed sexual and reproductive health rights, and promoted oversight practices that align national parliaments with shared regional priorities. Throughout its history, the forum has demonstrated that cooperation amongst legislatures is not only desirable, but is indispensable to the collective progress of our region. The Plenary Assembly, a biannual session of the SADC Parliamentary Forum, will once again convene to carry this mission forward. And as South Africa, we are honored to host it in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, a region deeply shaped by the intersections of climate change, economy, culture, and community resilience. KwaZulu-Natal has experienced perhaps more than any other province in recent years the devastating effects of climate change in floods that have washed away homes, taken away lives, and disrupted the livelihoods of already vulnerable families. Hosting this gathering here is therefore both symbolic and timely. It reminds us that climate impacts are not theoretical but lived realities, and that discussions about mitigation and adaptation must be rooted in the experience of our communities. We meet here in Durban not merely to exchange ideas, but to confront one of the greatest challenges of our generation, the accelerating climate crisis and its devastating impact on our people, our economies, and our ecosystems. The Plenary Assembly takes place at a time when the effects of climate change are no longer abstract, but focused in our daily life, lived realities for millions of people in Southern Africa. Honourable members of the media, you have already heard the interventions that have been made by women and youth on the centrality of why in our adaptation and mitigation strategies, we need to take into consideration the livelihoods of young people and women in general. We've also heard when Acting President, Deputy President Mashatile made his intervention in his opening address, indicating as well how in the G20 Leaders Summit, they also reflected on the impact of climate change and looked at how best mitigation as well as climate financing can be accelerated. Our region is experiencing more frequent and intense cyclones, floods, and droughts. We're seeing rising temperatures and water scarcity. Millions of our people are affected by food insecurity and growing threats to public health, livelihoods, and infrastructure. So in dealing with this issue, we have decided, as the SADC Parliamentary Forum, hosted here in South Africa, that tomorrow, in the beginning of the assembly, we will start with a symposium where we bring in the municipality of eThekwini in particular, because of how they had had to respond to some of the climate change disasters, to learn from them how they managed, but also where they think their failures and where they would need to improve. We've also brought in national government who would also share their experiences of how they have actually worked on mitigation strategies and how they have, in their planning, ensured that early warning system become part and parcel of dealing with issues of adaptation and mitigation. We've also brought in academia and other experts on climate change who would also share with us what their thoughts are and what they think could be done in dealing with these climate shocks that our region is experiencing. Member parliaments will also make their interventions, sharing their experiences of how, as different countries in the region, they've actually dealt with climate shocks that we've seen in a number of our countries in the region. This will then enable us that when we sit from Tuesday to Thursday as the assembly in a form of a parliament, we will then reflect on the outcomes of the symposium and be able to take a resolution on what we need to do as the different parliaments in the region, both in terms of legal frameworks, where there may be none, on areas of oversight, and how we can continuously monitor. And lastly, ensure that we increase public awareness and give necessary information to communities on how they can actually deal with the shocks of climate change as they impact each and every community. So this 58th Plenary Assembly will also deal with the previous resolutions that had been taken in the previous assembly to make an assessment of how, as different countries, were affected in the implementation of those resolutions of our previous assembly. So the Parliamentary Assembly of the SADC Parliamentary Forum offers us an opportunity to take stock of what each and every country has done in the implementation of our strategy, as well as what are new proposals that may be making on areas that we need our focus. Thank you very much to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Speaker, the host speaker of the SADC Summit, for those opening remarks. Can we now have the hands from the floor, from members of the media, if there's any questions of clarification? Yes, you can. I think there's a mic, roving mic there, behind you. Just mention your name and your media house.
Okay, thanks very much. My name is Khale Sakempeza from SAPC. And speakers also mentioned that climate change has a negative impact, especially on women and youth. My question is, taking into consideration the fact that African countries, especially, don't have financial muscles. So how are you going to make sure that you implement this resolution that will be taken here effectively, as you are lacking financial resources to make sure that young people also empower themselves, and also rural women?
Okay. Did you want to ask before the speaker comes?
Yes.
Okay. Just maybe three questions, speaker, so that you can answer all of them.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Toba Yangema from Independent Newspapers. Just to add to his question, what are the biggest challenges faced in securing funding and resources for climate change initiatives that benefit women and youth?
Okay. Any other question? Yours is similar.
Yes, greetings. My name is Londi Wekumete. I'm from Imbo 96.8 FM. It's a local community radio station. My question is probably similar to my other colleagues, but I'll just go for it. It says, what specific mechanism are parliaments using to ensure that national budgets include sufficient transparent funding? Transparent funding for gender responsive and focused climate adaptation and mitigation programs. Thank you.
I think somebody saw you on TV and then wanted to make sure that it is you speaking. They called you immediately. Okay, the fourth one.
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Archie from Umlazi FM, Ifikile Nas. I'm more concerned about the youth, and my question is, how can SADC parliaments ensure that the voice of young people are represented in climate change discussions?
Hello, my name is Nomhle Ngubane from the SABC. How does there are countries who are in denial that climate change exists. How does that impact the organization from organizing the rest of the countries to rally behind the idea that climate change does actually exist when there's a superpower that denies that it does exist at all?
Okay. That was the fifth hand. Okay. I think most of them, they have to do with the financing.
Thank you very much. Let me start by saying, at least in the region, there is no denial about the reality of climate change and its impact. We have, in this region, experienced a lot of inclement weather, climate shocks, not only in South Africa. You've been seeing some of the flooding in Mozambique, the heat wave and droughts in South Africa and in other countries in the region, which are extremely more than what we might have been used to. But also we've seen how the normal climate as we used to know about the weather patterns are changing. You cannot say with certainty anymore that in the Highveld you would have summer rains. You can experience rains in the Highvelds now even in winter, which was commonly known in South Africa as more prevalent in the Western Cape. So none of us in the Southern African region doubt the reality of climate change. Hence, we have actually been part of the conversations about how we mitigate, how we enable our communities to adapt, how we create policies as governments that are going to deal with issues of early warning systems, how we're going to be able to look at the adaptation, but also across your planning framework. How do we help our communities not to build in wetlands and in areas that are prone to actually flooding? How do we ensure that our municipalities themselves, in the way in which they deliver their services, take care of the stormwater drainage and clean them before the rain starts, all of those are part of the mitigation and the adaptation measures. And I will say in this region, we have been doing that maybe at varying levels. And I would want to remind us as South Africans, one of the things now that has become common, that when the weather services gives information on what are the expected forecasts of the weather patterns, immediately your MECs of local government have actually given indications that society must take notice that there will be heavy rains or there will be heat, so heat stroke, what you need to do. And this is part of adaptation measures. It does not need necessarily financial resources, all of them, but that information dissemination is critical in saving lives. And I would like to remind us, had we listened during that time of the snowing that happened at the time in which we didn't expect the snow in the N3 around Villiers, more people would have been saved. But I think we were still doubting Thomas to say, hey, if I go early, I might just miss it. When there was no time frame given, but there was a warning given that citizens must be aware that there will be excessive snow. So in the N3, take note that there are possible challenges that might arise. So I'm saying your weather information is now critical more than ever before, which means it becomes part and parcel of civic education, so that before you travel, look at the weather forecast to say where I'm going, what are the possible weather patterns. That is information that enables planning, not just from those who are in government, but also even for us as citizens. That's why for us, public education, and that's why you are saying, parliaments must also, as part of their public education with citizens, start to deal with these issues. Help communities not to settle on areas that are wetlands, because when you have inclement weather, they will actually experience more disasters. So that in itself becomes important. Obviously, as parliaments, in terms of our lawmaking, we need to ensure that we draft legislation that enables society, but also as governments, to be able to plan together on mitigation and adaptation strategies that will assist our communities. You have seen departments such as Land Reform and Rural Development, which have invested a lot of resources now in geo-information system, GIS, where they can actually utilize the drones and have trained pilots within the department of people who can then assist government to actually utilize the drones so that we can assess immediately the extent of the disaster, the need for response, so that those who have to do responsive work can exactly know where to go. So you've seen the work in the presidency on the Climate Action Fund, which is also about ensuring that we increase the level of investments that will deal with issues of climate change. And what is important is that as legislators in the countries in our region, we now need, when we look at the budgets as presented by the Minister of Finance in our legislature, we need to look at critically how does this budget enable our countries to mitigate climate change. And it may not be only in the ministries of environment, because ministers of agriculture will also need assistance in research and development, so that in developing new crops that are drought resistant, they can be able to assist farmers so that they can withstand the extreme droughts or heat, like one of the work that Food and Agriculture Organization did with the Forum for Agricultural Research in Africa, where they developed a drought-resistant maize seed, which now farmers are using such that they can provide for food security even where there is such inclement weather. But also, you would require a department like housing to get assistance so that in their planning, the kind of infrastructure that is now required to be resilient to climate change becomes the norm, not as an excuse. So I think when we look at climate financing, is not just about moving from fossil fuel to alternative energy. It's also about adaptation of how the different sectors can, in their preparation and their planning, ensure that we can now plan our infrastructure in a manner that responds to climate change, but also investment in information and innovation. Because if information is only thought of a few, those who are planners, those who are decision making, it limits the capability of the citizens to be able to respond themselves into issues of climate change. So all of those, from a planning point of view, from a resource mobilization point of view, even if you may not have resources, but how do we utilize the limited resources that are there in our countries so that we can assist in adaptation? My brother from Umlazi FM, you talk about young people and how we can make sure that young people are part and parcel of the mitigation and the adaptation strategy. You heard in the presentation, there was a young person who was representing the voice of youth 2 years ago, working with the SADC Parliamentary Forum. We mobilized about 400 young people in Johannesburg from SADC region who were looking at how, as young people, not just as recipients of information, but what actions can young people themselves take as advocates and activists of ensuring that we address issues of climate change. And I'm sure at local level, young people can come up with solutions of how we can deal with climate change. That's why for us as SADC, that voice of youth is very important. That voice of women is very important to enable us to also understand from the perspective of young people, of women, of how can we assist and work with them in creating policies, legislation that can respond to climate change, taking into consideration the impact that women and youth face. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Speaker. Are there any other questions? I think. Okay. Sorry? Can you get the mic there?
Yosiphinde sibonge ithuba. Bengithi ngisana umbuzo. Bengicela ukubuza ukuthi ngabe kuvumelekile ukuthi ngubuze ngesiZulu.
Yes, you're welcome.
Yebo. Umbuzo enginawo ile ukuthi endaweni zasemakhaya, njengomuntu osebenzela endaweni yasemakhaya, uyayithola ukuthi uma ngabe kuzoba neyikhukhula okanye uma ngabe sekwenzekile zaba khona iyikhukhula seyidlulile, kuba nzima, ekakhulukazi kubantu abalimayo, kubalimi, kuba nzima ukubuyela emuva okanye ukubuyela esimweni sokuthi baphinde futhi bakwazi ukuthi baqhubeke nokulima intshalo yabo okanye imfuyo isidamejekile. Ngabe likhona yini uhlelo okanye iy'nhlelo iPhalamende okanye iSADC nje enayo iPF ukuthi ena ibasize, ngoba kuba nzima ukuthi bathole nokusizakala okusheshayo. Ngiyabonga.
Okay. That was the first question, and I'm sure ufuna ukuthi uSpeaker aphendule ngesiZulu, ne? Okay.
My question is for the Secretary General. How can SADC member states collaborate more effectively to tackle the regional challenges posed by climate change, especially for women and youth?
Okay.
Another one. Okay. I'm Kaluhle Smilane from my World Global. I have a question regarding the for those who reside or build their houses on the riverbanks. Some people, they say they build houses from the river banks because they have no land to build their houses. So the land is available for them is along the river. So I want to know, regarding that issue, how are you going to work around it? Thank you.
Okay. Any other hand? I think we need to take all the hands because this will be the last round. Yes. Okay. So there's no further hand. Okay. Thank you very much. The speaker, I think let me start with the SG, and then the speaker will come and close with the responses. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for these questions that hinge around climate. I think it takes us further to the objective that has been set by this plenary assembly to really look at the practicalities around policy positions in country, resources that are there. And when we talk about financing or resources, we are not just looking at resources that one country can come up with. We're looking at policy positions that have been taken at the regional level around the World Bank's contribution and many other development partners, including looking at your own systems insofar as ministries are responding. If, for instance, there's a bridge that has been swept off, I think we need to start mapping and saying, was that fixed? And how much was the cost for that? If there's a response around safety nets, or where you are asking if SADC can assist, where damages have been done or what the country does, already each government has strategies where they respond, be it to ensuring that there's food, ensuring that a school has a ceiling the next day, and many others. And at the center of all this, that which parliaments are focused on is to ensure that there's policy and therefore resources that go along with that responsiveness, just to put it simply. At the SADC Parliamentary Forum level, we have set ourselves the green objective, basically of ensuring that organizations look at environmentally friendly options, even at the architectural level. Nowadays, when we start building, we are supposed to take into account the green policy. So we have parliaments coming together through a project which is funded by Sweden, implemented by the parliaments, including South Africa, where they've set a minimum carbon footprint, which aims to bring the contribution of the planet, ensuring that parliamentary initiatives are all geared towards progressively implementing. You've heard about the Paris Agreement of 2015, the climate change and improving nationally determined contributions. And this is where you're sitting at right now. But we are deliberate further, ensuring that we focus on women and girls or the vulnerable groups. So under the sexual reproductive health and rights programs, the forum is already convinced that without the contribution of parliaments to ensure that the rights of individuals impacted by climate are responded to adequately, we find that would not be going any far to ameliorate the impact of climate. And therefore, we have parliaments coming up with policy positions. Recently, Zimbabwe, Lesotho, put on the floor of parliaments bills related to climate action, ensuring that this interface and the practical realities of the people in those countries is actually set in place. And you find that we have offshoots around clean energy. We have offshoots around infrastructure. We have offshoots around financing. We have offshoots around ensuring that there's research that can inform countries insofar as what it is that they are doing to influence the appropriation bill on when they pass budgets. So when parliaments come together, and this is a project they all have agreed to, the report in progress in that area. We are moving forward to track now the responsiveness, because often a policy position is so broad and you cannot find the texture of the intervention by parliament. For instance, if you are told that South Africa spent $20 billion on mitigation for climate, you need to look further and say, what did parliamentarians do to ensure that we arrive at that level of contribution. And that those are the governance indicators that the SADC PF is implementing with parliaments, and this is the response that I would like to give to yourselves. We aggregate data, young people, old people, gender. We go further, LGBTQI communities, children on the streets, among others. And ultimately, I think when the survey is ready to absorb some of the data, we'll be able to say this is how far parliaments influenced and articulated the policy position for action and implementation by ministries. I hope this answers your question. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker and Madam SG. Good afternoon, colleagues. I will just emphasize two aspects that relate to the twin response that our country, similar to others that we have adopted to deal with climate change. The first one is adaptation and mitigation. As we do now, since 2021, the President established what is called Climate Commission, a presidential climate commission. And that commission set about to look at various instruments that can assist what is called a just transition framework. So that when we do developments, infrastructural in particular, the mitigation dimension of planning, it looks at climate-proofed instruments for financing development, whether it's private sector-led as well as public sector-led. But secondly, when budgets are planned, we have a research agency in our country called Center for Scientific and Industrial Research, CSIR, that also came up with a blueprint of how infrastructure development can be finance-proofed such that our resilience mechanisms are strengthened. So when we look at budgets, they are looked at it in that context. So at the level of Parliament, there's also oversight committees of Parliament in both houses that when they examine developments, they are also guided by these frameworks that our country is a signatory to in terms of the climate commitments that we have globally. How do we help communities? Of course, it depends on each country's budget framework. In our own case, you would have seen both KZN, Eastern Cape, and many others where the issue of climate change is no longer an abstract. It is now real. So people build along the banks of rivers. We have seen in KZN what happened. And as we do in many other instances, there will be mitigation measures, but also rebuild the infrastructure. So part of the tour tomorrow after the symposium, there will be sites visited to also see the devastating impact of that and what measures have been done to fix some of the developments such that there's mitigations. But also in the main human settlement developments in our country, a lot of campaigns are being done to relocate people in certain areas. It is not an easy exercise because there's a lot of factors that makes people reside in certain areas. But there's a lot of measures to make sure that any new developments around human settlements, around public infrastructure like roads, there's measures to make sure that we apply the just energy transition framework to guide investment decisions for public infrastructure. Thanks.
Ngibonge ke ngizophendula nombuzo nje wokugcina mhlambe nalona omunye obuzo umfowethu ngesilungu mayelana nabantu abahlala eduze kwemfula. Singasho nje ukuthi ikakhulukazi njoba sihlangene namhlanje sikhuluma ngokubaluleka kokuthi amalunga ePhalamende izindlu zeshayamthetho mazisebenzisane nemiphakathi ukukhuluma ngokubonisana ukuthi senze njani ukubhekana nokuguquguquka kwesimo sezulu. Ikakhulukazi njoba sesibonile ukuthi manje sekuba khona imvula esezithumazina zenze umonakalo njengezikhukhula. Uthole futhi ukuthi kwesinye isikhathi sekuba nezomiso ezingajwayelekile. Ngisho ukuthini uma ngisho njalo? Uzothola ukuthi kwesinye isikhathi isomiso endaweni engacishe ngiyibeke njengaleli holo nje. Ukuthi uzothola ukuthi la sihleli khona estate line kakhulu. Kuthi lana ihleli khona livele lingani nje. Insime eyodwa leyo yomlimi. Esekwenza ukuthi umsebenzi wokulima manje ube likhuni kubalimi. Yingakho onjingalwazi nabachwepheshi nalabo abasiza abalimisi ukuthi sisize manje imiphakathi ukuthi uma ngabe njengoba sesiphila esimeni sezulu esinje senze njani ke manje ukuthi sibhekane lesimo ukuze siqhubeke sibe nokudla. Uhulumeni ke ubambisana kanjani nemiphakathi kulezo zimo ezinjalo? Ngibalile ke ukuthi ezinye zezinto kuzofanele manje ukuthi abalimi bethu basebenzisane kakhulu nabalimisi nangokubheka ukuthi eindaweni abakuzo ngabe yiziphi ezinyo zezitshalo asebengazitshala manje. Ngingabiyela nje emuva ekutheni uma sibheka kudala abantu abalimi bakudala bebazi ukuthi yiziphi izimo ongazitshala ezimisene nezulu, yiphi imfuyo ongayifuya engakwazi ukumelana nezimo ezithize. Uma sibheka nje ikakhulukazi inkomo eyandile la engabadini yase Southern Africa, inguni. Inguni, one of its properties ukuthi iyakwazi ukumelana nesimo sezulu ikakhulukazi when there droughts. It can survive better than other breeds njengobonsmara nezinye njalo njalo. Ngoba yona isimo sayo siyamelana nalesi simo sezulu. Uyabona le inkukhu zasemakhaya eseyibizwa o hard body no leqwayo no runaway. Ezinye zezinkukhu lezo ezingafani nolamthuthu ezingadinge igesi ukukhuliswa ezikwaziyo ukuthi zimelane nezimo zezulu ngokushintshashintsha. Lezo ke ezinye zezinto ekufanele sizibheke nezinye izitshalo esazisitshala kuqala njengamadumbe nobhatata ezenza ukuthi sibheke manje ekutheni sizibuyisela kanjani kuyi-diet yesimo sanamhlanje. Abaningi abantu sebeyawadla manje amadumbe. Ngiyazi ke bawadla ngoba mhlambe ababafundisa ngezempilo dietitian bathi anomsoco ongakanani njalo njalo. Kodwa abantu basemakhaya babewadla vele amadumbe ngoba kwakuyizitshalo ezazikwazi ukumila endaweni abakhe kuzo. Okusho ukuthi ke kulezi zingxoxo esibuyela kuzo manje ukubhekisana ukuthi impilo yethu njengamanje siyimisa kanjani. Uhulumende nawo ungenelela kanjani ekusebenziseni namakhosi nabantu abahlala eindaweni zasemakhaya. Kodwa mangisho bakwethu balekile ukuthi nathi nje siyimphakathi singafuni ukwenza izinto ngodli just lephoyisa. Uyabona nje uma sesikhuluma iqiniso, abaningi abantu ngisho sebenikwa indawo engconywana engekho eduze kwemfula engekho eduze kwemisele baye bayale bathi hayi bona bafuna ukwakha eduze kwemfula ngobe bazokwazi ukulima kahle. Bakhohle ukuthi mzukwane izikhukhula zeyifika aziyumuka kuphela namasimu abo, ziyomuka nanezindlu zabo uqobo. Ezinye zezinto lezo kufuneka sikhulumisane ngazo ukuthi isimo manje sijikile. Mhlawumbe ngalesa sikhathi kwakululu kwakhe eduze kumfula. Kodwa esimeni sezulu lanamhlanje sekufanele siphinde siqalaze sibheke ngelinyiso ukuthi ukuze sivikele imindeni yiziphi indawo ekumele sihlale kuzo. Namakhosi ethu kufuneka sikhulumisane nawo yingakho uhulumeni waseNingizimu Afrika waqala lo mthetho esiubiza njenge special land use management isipluma ngoba lokho bekusho kahle ukuthi siwuhulumeni ngokwezigaba ezihlukene kuhlangana namakhosi asithi uma sihlela indawo sibe nokuhleleleka okuzobheka izimo ezifana nalezi esikhuluma ngazo zokuguquguquka kwesimo sezulu ukuthi abantu sibahlela kanjani abantu senze njani ukuthi sibahlele noma sibabeke endaweni zethu zasemakhaya bangabikho endaweni ezisesimeni la uzothola khona ukuthi kune soil erosion umhlaba vele uyaguguleka baseduze kwemifula bakuma wetlands leyo nto yokuthi sibe ne land use management iyasiza ekutheni kube ezinye zezindlela esizobhekana ngayo nalesimo sokuguquguquka kwezulu okubaleke kakhulu ukuthi uhulumeni neparlament ngeke likwenze lokho lungasebenzisani nabahlali nezihlangano zabahlali ukuze ukuthi le ngxoxo kungabi ingxoxo nje ekhulunywa lephezulu kube ingxoxo nemiphakathi aqala manje ukuthi ayiqoqe ukuthi ukushintsha kwesimo sezulu kusho ukuthi masenzeni thina njengabahlali ekuhlaleni ngiyabonga
siyabonga somlomo kakhulu I think we agree that this will be the last round of questions. I must say, Speaker, that I appreciate your Speaker. I must say that I appreciate your leadership in bringing this summit to KZN, because after this illuminating engagement with the media, I think because of the lived experience of the effect of climate change in this area, in this region, you can see the appropriateness of having brought this summit here. But thank you very much. This brings us to the end of our engagement. Thank you very much.